Hi, so my name is Zach Stein. I am the Syndromic Surveillance Coordinator and Epidemiologist at the Kansas Department of Health and Environment. And we will be kind of dividing this into what happened, the real-life timeline of the event, and then I will walk you through how data was fed in and how information was passed through to those of us at the health department. Because as most of you probably know, it's not often the same. So right there in red is Atchison. Atchison is the county seat for Atchison County. Atchison has a population of around 11,000 people. It is 52 miles from the much larger city of Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri, because they're right next to each other. And it's about 152 miles from Lincoln, Nebraska. So definitely pretty proximal to Kansas City, but it also is right there on the border of those three states. So on the morning of Friday, October 21st, 2016, an accidental mixture of sodium hypochlorite and sulfuric acid at a grain products processing plant in Atchison, Kansas, resulted in a chlorine gas cloud that quickly enveloped portions of the city. A little bit of information about KDHE syndromic surveillance. It's near real-time emergency room visit data that we're able to assess for situational awareness and looking at different syndromes across the state. We've been working on it for some time now. We currently have 87 facilities sending data. That accounts for about 82% of all emergency department visits across the state, and that is to our production server, which means that the data is very high quality, very timely, and we can always count on it, mostly. The remaining 28 emergency departments are actively working with us to bring their data up to speed and up to the quality that we require. They submit their data to test servers. That doesn't mean that the data is unusable in situations like this, but you have to be a little careful with the quality of it, and I'll let you guys guess where Atchison was sending. So the timeline of the Atchison release. At 8:02 a.m., October 21st, the day of the release, the chemical release occurred. Sodium hypochlorite was accidentally mixed with sulfuric acid in a holding tank at MGP Ingredients. MGP Ingredients is a manufacturer of distilled spirits and grain food additive products. Is that vague enough? At 8:30 a.m., the incident was reported to the National Response Center, and it was reported by a rail yard worker saying they were evacuating the rail yard due to a release of an unknown chemical, reportedly an unknown acid. One employee at that time was transported to a local hospital. This individual was the truck driver where the reaction took place in the tank of his truck. So 9:25, the National Response Center alert was forwarded to KDHE's spill hotline, which is through our environment department. At 9:35, KDHE emergency preparedness was notified. Kansas Highway Patrol was reporting a plume of sulfuric acid vapors, and locals were at that point reporting chlorine gas release. So a little bit of conflicting information at that point. Also, by this point, Benedictine College, area high schools, elementary schools, and downtown Atchison are being evacuated. 10:52, KDHE syndromic surveillance was contacted to look for key terms and health effects. These were all key terms related to the potential health effects of the gas cloud, mostly respiratory injuries. So we looked for words like chemical release, sulfuric acid, chlorine gas, plume, rail yard, and then for the health effects, skin burns and blisters, nose and throat irritation, asthma and shortness of breath, burning eyes, blurred vision, nausea, and vomiting. As of 11 a.m. that same morning, authorities said, it's all safe, go back to your house, report if you smell any more chlorine, but it had all blown into Nebraska, so we didn't care anymore. But by 11 a.m., it was fairly safe. You know, there was a little bit of a chlorine smell lingering in some people's houses that it got in, but that was honestly about it. So the syndromic surveillance response analysis started with Kansas Hospital A due to its proximity to the event. Kansas Hospital A was, at the time, big surprise, submitting to KDHE's syndromic surveillance staging environment. So data quality was not guaranteed. When we first looked into it, we were kind of had our fingers crossed. So data was pulled through the back end of the BioSense platform that we were participating in through the National Syndromic Surveillance Program. Data submission by this hospital only started 10 days prior to this event. We were extremely lucky to be able to see any data whatsoever. The first data pulled at 10:55 identified the one individual transported to the hospital, followed by a string of patient IDs with no free text field filled in. So a little peculiar, not necessarily the behavior we're used to seeing. No exposed patients identified related to the key terms, and this is expanding it to a little bit of a wider net to capture other hospitals, and no exposure related to potential health effects. That was obviously relatable to the event. There were also no regional increases in likely syndromes to other hospitals in the region. Missouri and Nebraska syndromic surveillance coordinators were emailed at 11:14, the day of the chemical release. Missouri's Department of Health and Human Services reported they had a hospital A. It had 14 patients come into the ED with chief complaints of either chemical or chemical disaster between 9 and 11 a.m., and then Nebraska was not experiencing any obvious patients related to the event, but they did contribute extensive code that we could then go and run on our own system. So that was very helpful. So 2 p.m., the day of the incident at Kansas Hospital A, proximal to the event, there were 56 total unique ED visits starting from 6 a.m. Until the point of the data draw. 13 of these unique visits directly mentioned the exposure, and 2 of these visits did not mention exposure, and 31 did not contain free text data. And so once again, we're getting into messages where it's just a patient ID being sent through, nothing else filled out. As you can see, the time of admit to Hospital A, at least with this data draw, the majority are coming in between the hours of 9 and 10 a.m., so well within the exposure time period here. Common terms that we found in these cases that we then incorporated into subsequent queries included cloud, fog, MPG, misspelling of the factory, chlorine, smell, outside driving, and decontamination. Okay, so the data as of 3:15 p.m., the day of the event, 62 total unique emergency department visits had occurred since 6 a.m. at that one hospital. Hospital A. Atchison Hospital saw, on average, in the 10 days prior to this, they saw an average of about 25 patients within a 24-hour period. So already by 6 a.m. that morning, we had doubled that. 15 of the visits mentioned the exposure and complained of associated symptoms. 46 of these unique visits did not contain accessible free text data. This is a common theme that we kept running into. However, since October 12th, Hospital A's emergency department visit averaged about 25.8 unique visits per day. And then on October 21st, between 12 a.m. and 2:30 p.m., Kansas Hospital A's ED received, 57 unique visits. I think I got an older slide mixed in with that. I apologize for that. As of 11 a.m. the following day, we had 106 total unique emergency department visits to Atchison. Hospital A by 6 a.m. Friday morning, or starting at 6 a.m. Friday morning. 49 of these visits directly mentioned the exposure with associated symptoms. 16 visits were not directly mentioning the exposure, but 6 of those did involve respiratory distress, and 41 hospital visits with no accessible data. So, in summary, approximately 170 individuals sought medical attention due to the chemical release, and that's due to contacting area hospitals and getting the medical records after the event. 106 of these were initially captured through KDHE syndromic surveillance, with another approximately 20 to 30 captured through Missouri's syndromic surveillance. The rest were seen through urgent cares and primary care physicians. The furthest distance traveled for emergency medical care was 52 miles, approximately 1 hour driving time. That was kind of one just extreme case that apparently they drove an hour and needed to then go to the emergency room. And then KDHE is conducting and compiling survey data to measure potential long-term health effects. So there may be more coming out. So final thoughts, you can't assume that other states and jurisdictions have the same information as you do. We really relied on Missouri and Nebraska after we informed them, and their response was just fantastic. We couldn't have asked for a better interstate cooperation. While syndromic surveillance data is free text-based, in practice, it's necessary to utilize whatever data they are sending you. In emergencies, hospitals will change their workflow to paper records because they just can't handle the patient load. And then while small hospitals do not produce large amounts of data, they can and will prove necessary in events such as these. Interstate cooperation is key. And finally, it's important to understand each of your partners' data sharing restrictions and availability prior to one of these events taking place. There's my contact information. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Farah Ahmed, and also our counterparts in Missouri and Nebraska, Sandra Gonzalez and Linton Bartlett. So thank you.